through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Hour number three of Tom, Jake, and Stacy. We're working on a project this offseason. That's something you're not going to get from any other show on this network. We've got an off-season long project. How do the Seahawks get back to the Super Bowl in 2020? You know what we're going to do? Every single day, starting next week at 2 o'clock, we're going to have some kind of profile on some player, be it a Seahawk free agent to be, an NFL free agent that the Seahawks can go out and get, a draft prospect, or later on down the road, someone that the Seahawks have drafted. We're going to have all that information for you every single day at 2 o'clock. And in the meantime, the three of us, along with you guys, are going to be debating what it is the Seahawks need to do to get this team back to the Super Bowl. Remember,
we're figuring out our blueprint.
Yes, we are. This is a team that right now, 11-5, second round of the playoffs, didn't exactly get crushed in that one game that eliminated them from the playoffs. So evaluating where they are and how they can get back to the Super Bowl, that is our project, and we're trying to figure out the blueprint right now.
Can I give out the number?
I was just going to do that.
No, you're better at it. Let's rotate numbers. Let's rotate numbers. Two.
No.
Okay. You guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, Kyle. Kyle, how did Stacy do yesterday, by the way?
It was good.
Phenomenal.
It was great.
Absolutely.
Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, so much so that.
Bat in a thousand.
And now
you
know
what she wants to give out the number?
Yeah, all of a sudden I'm like, Tom, I've got this one. You guys listen. Call in to Tom, Jake, and Stacy. Tell us how the Seahawks can get back to the Super Bowl this year. 206-421-3776.
Or
866-979-3776. Do it.
Todd gets us started in Puyallup. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
What you got for us, Todd?
Good, good. Okay, so first of all, we've got to come to the reality. We will not re-sign Jadeveon Clowney. It's not going to happen. It's a pipe dream. He's going to want too much dough. Under Pete Carroll and John Schneider, I've never seen us sign a big-name free agent. We did trade for Percy Harvin. We did trade for Jimmy Graham, but we never signed the big-name free agent. We didn't even want to pay Frank Clark the money. What they're going to do, I'll predict it now, is they're going to draft offensive and defensive linemen. That's where the battles are won, in the trenches. That's what we need. We need, I mean, our left tackle is 35 years old. George Fant wants to be a starting left tackle somewhere. They're probably not going to do anything with the Fetty. You got to rebuild the O-line, and we need some pipe hitters, some speed on the D-line. I think they'll probably trade for that kid in Baltimore. His name escapes me. But that's where they'll probably get help, is through the draft and trades. Our secondary kept getting burned because we had no pressure on opposing QBs. I'd love for us to re-sign Clowney. I just don't think it's going to happen. Let me know what you guys think. I'll take your comments off the air.
Thanks for the call, Todd. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. That was awesome. I understand your sentiment, and it very easily could get to the point where the Seahawks let Clowney walk because of the astronomical number that Clowney is asking for. However, I do believe that this is different from the standpoint that you look at Clowney. And the Seahawks know the number. They knew coming into this situation what that number was going to be. This is not a surprise like it was with Frank Clark. Frank Clark, they thought that they could get him for about $17 million. They thought that was going to be around that number, 17, 18, and the market continued to grow for Frank Clark, and his asking number did not change. Him and his agent did not waver. They wanted top market value. Once the Seahawks realized that they were not going to be able to get some sort of a bargain for Frank Clark, they let him walk. I don't think they're going into this situation, Todd, sitting here saying, we know that we can get Clowney for $19, $20 million. They know that this is going to be a $21 to $22 million investment. So that to me is, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they let Clowney walk, although I do agree with you that it is more of a possibility than what maybe people in this town might think. And if that's the case, there are a lot of good pass rushers in the free agent market right now that you feel very good about. So I would love to have Clowney here, but if he's not here, there are some good ones for them to take, and it would free up, you'd be able to utilize more of that $60 million of cap space.
It depends on how they view Jadeveon Clowney. There's one of two ways you can look at it. There's the way that I looked at it, which was this guy just flat out did not produce, did not live up to the hype, either as a member of the Texans or as a member of the Seahawks, was disruptive at times, had one really good game in San Francisco. That's one way you can go. The other is to believe the stats about how many times he was double teamed all the time. Mm-hmm. I guess my question would be, how many elite pass rushers are double teamed and still succeed?
Well, and that might be something that they have to do to convince Clowney to come back. Again, I think this was on Brock and Salk's podcast where they kind of go over this, but Brock essentially alluded to the idea that if you want to convince Clowney to come back, it's not just going to be saying, okay, we'll pay you around $20-21 million a year. It's also going to be, we promise you won't be double teamed and you're not going to waste your time here, because we're going to try to get someone on the other side to help you out, because it's difficult to be that productive when you're constantly being double teamed. In Houston, he was there with J.J. Watt. And for the most part, you look at the Smith, Zadarius and Preston Smith, who were able to succeed in Green Bay this year. You can do your best job when you have someone who's taking some of that attention away from you.
Well, that worries
me. And it's kind
of
going to be a pick your poison with the best defenses. And with this one, it was, hey, stop Clowney, and it's going to be hard for the other guys to get going.
In Houston, he had all kinds of pass rushers in that defense, though. He had J.J. Watt. He had, Whitney Mercilus. And that system still didn't work for him?
Still, though, drafting or signing or re-signing Clowney, something about an edge rusher seems to be the consensus, at least among the text line. If you don't want to call in, again, the call-in number is 206-421-3776. You can also text the Coors Light text line 710-710 if you're at work, although you should be prioritizing us over your job anyways, but whatever. Some of the top responses are draft an edge rusher, the 206 says. Separate 206 says to draft a running back. They're fine with letting Clowney go. Some 360 says the key to get back to a Super Bowl is to change the run first mentality. Mm. Let's talk about maybe running backs. Let's take an offense approach, because I'm seeing a couple of, you need to get a new running back, and then on the flip side of that, you need to put the ball in Wilson's hands.
Okay, can we hold that thought for 1 second? I just want to get to some of the callers here, because that's kind of a loaded one.
Yes.
Jack is in Seattle. Go ahead, Jack.
Hello, you guys. I just wanted to say you guys have the best show in the market, hands down.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm not just saying that to butter you guys up. What I wanted to say,
if you were, that's okay, Jack.
Yeah,
you did your job.
It.
Thank you.
Hey, stop being cute in the draft, okay? Stop being cute. You're not outsmarting the room by picking these players up that nobody else has won. I'd rather have quality over quantity any day. Pick that stud up, please, and stop trying to trade down and get 10 picks that's going to be a special teams player, and get that stud like a DK Metcalf. I mean, they want to base it off of getting Sherman and Cam Chancellor late in the draft. I'll tell you what, even a broke clock is right twice a day, all right? You're locked up, Seahawks. Please stop being cute in this draft and go get that player that we need. I mean, you passed up Nick Chubb for Rashad Penny. Stop being cute and go get that player that we know is a stud, a known commodity at the college level. Stop being cute, please.
Jack, there you
go, Jack. That kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. You can be as cute as you want, to use Jack's words there, but you do need to come away with an impact player, whether it's the first round or the second round. Guys like that are available. Jake, you talked about that. I mean, where was Marquise Blair drafted? Third round?
Marquise Blair was second.
He was second.
So
round?
he was their first second rounder. DK was the
because they traded
the
back up to get it. To
exactly.
Get it. I mean, some of these guys we draft and we don't even use them.
It's
that's a shame.
It is crazy. But think about this: DK Metcalf, when they took him, everybody was worried about boom or bust type of deal with DK Metcalf. What did everybody say? Well, at that value, for the value that you got DK Metcalf later in that second round, the last pick of the second round, that made it okay, right? That made it okay to take that risk. It's okay to take a really good player before that too, right? If you believe that he is a star-studded player, it's great to take advantage of that opportunity. And I think that that, you know, goes to the sentiment of what Jack's saying, and that is going to be a massive part of this thing, is whether you trade down your first-round pick and you go into the second round, you've got 3 second-round picks, you've got a third, you've got tremendous opportunity in the upper part of the draft to find impact players at key spots that you really need help at. And before we get to someone else, I just really want to make sure that everybody knows where we're coming from. Us three, where we think this should go. Because for me, I look at this right off the top, and I think pass rush is number one. Number one, the pass rush has to be addressed. It has to get fixed, and they have to be able to get that done through free agency. You have to pay free agency your cap dollars to be able to get free that pass rush solidified. Then you need to look at your offensive line. I think there's a way to get it done where you can maybe put some patchwork here and there, but you've got to sign at least 1 to 2 studs, whether it's guard and right tackle, vice versa. You have to be able to get that addressed and get it done. And then lastly, you have to, if you're going to ask me, do they need more secondary help or do they need more help around Russell Wilson? I would say they need more help around Russell Wilson. Making that offense truly elite with star-studded talent, getting a really, really great tight end, getting a great number three receiver to where now that the offensive weaponry that you have around him can be dynamic. I think the pass rush for a defensive line can make your secondary look a lot better heading into 2020.
Joe is in Seattle. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Hey, our pass rush would have been better if Zig Yonsen was healthy. It would have been much easier for Clowney to get in. You need to sign Clowney. Take Ziggy's money and get another pass rusher, and it'll make the DBs be better. It'll be fine. And I want to say one more thing. Justin Verlander always was tweeting out stuff when people got busted for PEDs, but he's not saying anything about when they get busted for the stealing signs. Thank you.
Thanks for that comment on Justin Verlander. Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
You know what, though? This pass rush thing, I mean, I wonder if Joe's right. Is this as simple as if Ansa had been healthy and effective, we wouldn't even be having this discussion right now?
I mean, maybe, because a better pass rush would have made the secondary look better. Because the two top answers on the text line are, one, pass rush, whether it's through the draft, free agency, or re-signing Clowney, the most popular response is the same number one that we all had, which is pass rush. Get an extra edge rusher or two. The second one is, quote, stud cornerback. Multiple people have texted in about that. And I wonder if that ranks as high if you have a pass rush that's more effective.
You don't have to go out and buy that guy, though, necessarily.
No.
Feel like that guy has to come. That guy can come through the draft. You can probably find him. I mean, look, if a scenario that I am comfortable with, I'm comfortable with re-signing Clowney at whatever that money ends up being. If I know we're going to go out and spend more money on that edge rusher on the other side, who's not hurt.
Correct. It's got to be. So here's the deal.
In fact,
Ziggy Ansah was a guy who we knew was injured. We knew that there was a reason why he slid as far as he did. His ceiling was tremendous. And here's the thing. His ceiling was tremendous. But what we knew of the risk, we knew that there was actually a risk coming into this situation. There's too many question marks. You cannot have this signing be a question mark. If you're going to invest anywhere from $8 to $12 million on that second pass rusher, and that's going to get you a top-tier pass rusher in this free agency market, that guy has to have zero question marks about him. He's got to be a proven player, a guy who has been able to get it done, whether it's been through years and years. I'm okay going after a Robert Quinn or a Jason Pierre-Paul who have done it for years. Or you're getting a young, twitchy, fast guy that you feel fits your scheme extremely well. There are a lot of those guys in that $8 to $12 million range that don't have those same type of question marks that Ziggy Ansah did.
Good. I hope not, because this time I don't want to hear, oh, so-and-so will be healthy by training camp. That's just not going to work.
You can't get those guys.
In fact, I don't really want that for any player that they acquire, much less somebody who matters. Taylor's in Tacoma. Go ahead, Taylor.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I just wanted to give you a phone call because I just think signing Jadeveon handcaps this team, I think, more than it benefits. Yes, we need a star of what Jadeveon could be, but you need offensive line. You don't know how Britt's going to be coming back. You got a left tackle that's getting up there in age. Effetti's going to be gone. You just have too much holes on the offensive line to sit there and pay the Jadeveon Clowney $21 million and not think that it's going to be absolutely detrimental to the rest of the team. And we don't know how he's going to pan out. So I would like to see them take more swings at the plate than just trying to hit it out of the park with one person, and we end up with no left tackle, no right tackle, no center, going in with no running back that's going to be there by training camp, and just sit there and feel like we're going to be set up for the season and go for a Super Bowl run again.
Taylor, you're probably not going to fill every single hole, would be my guess. I mean, but are you banking on the idea that everything on the offensive line, the three of those five positions, are just going to fail, that they're all going to be...
I would think so. Just
really?
Maybe Britt comes back and he's just like he used to be, and he's a great center. I'm not saying he's not. But the question marks of how you want to run this team and how Pete wants to go about the philosophy of this team is run first, pass later, and we can't even run the ball, and that was super evident in the playoffs. And Jadeveon, as great as he is as a player, as great as he could be, you know, what we failed at was the fact that we couldn't run our offense the way we wanted to, and philosophically it just doesn't match up. You can get a pass rush that you can believe in the draft. We can trade up. You got Collier that's coming back. I know it's not what we want and the sexy thing
Taylor,
to do.
Taylor, hang on.
Yeah.
Do you really, when you just said that, when you say Collier, we've got Collier coming back, do you honestly, in your heart of hearts, confident that he is going to help out with that pass rush?
Say it again.
Do you, in your heart of hearts, believe that LJ Collier is going to help out this pass rush next year?
Going to say no, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
But
that's
what
true.
I will say, Taylor,
know.
Is yes, you don't know, but you also don't have insurance if you don't spend money. Defensive end is going to be your most expensive position outside of quarterback. It's the second highest franchise tag total, usually the second biggest number that's there. And so if you don't have Clowney, if you don't have some kind of insurance there, you're going to have to spend there, because otherwise the only guys you have under contract are Rasheem Green, Nas Jones, LJ Collier, Puna Ford, and then someone from your practice squad.
David is in Seattle. Go ahead. Good thoughts, Stacey.
Well, good stuff from Taylor.
Yes, thanks, Taylor.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, we need to sign. Jadeveon Clowney is the number one priority to sign. He's one of the best. He's one of the best men in the NFL, besides being a great defensive end.
Okay, thanks for the call. We appreciate
that. Thank you, David.
JC is in Westport. Go ahead, JC.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, I just got a couple points. You know, one point is, you know, I think if we wouldn't have had all the injuries, we may have made it to the big dance, but we just had too many injuries. And I've heard a lot of some comments and read some things about strength and conditioning and whatnot. I think we need to get better there. I also think, you know, Schneider just needs to do better in those early rounds. And I've heard some other people cover that. You know, a good example of that is a few years back when the Malik McDowell thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had Cam Robinson and, the other left tackle that went to New Orleans, Ryan Ramczyk, those guys were both staring at us. We could have had those guys. And we would have still been paying those guys pennies. But instead, we screwed around. We took Malik McDowell, and that ended up forcing us to take Dwayne Brown, paying him a lot of money. I mean, we just need to do a lot better in those rounds.
The Malik McDowell, it's a good call, and I'm going to get off topic for 10 seconds because I actually really like our ongoing blueprint conversation, but the Malik McDowell conversation forced the team's hand in a lot of ways, trading Curse to the Jets to acquire Sheldon Richardson. There was so much fallout from that that you really do wonder. Then you didn't have a subsequent second-round pick that following year because you had to take Brown, like our caller just said. It really is one of those fascinating things where you wonder what the team would look like had it worked out. You wonder what his career was just derailed. It's really sad.
Yeah, you know, but the caller there said too, is it just a question of luck, right?
Injuries
at the end. I mean, maybe what they put together last year was already good enough to get to the Super Bowl. It's just that injuries hit them at the end, and maybe the difference between what we saw last year and what we're hoping for this year is a team that doesn't win every game by 6 points, right? Maybe if they have a decent pass rush, maybe they win occasionally by like 10 or 15. They're just a better team all around, right? Maybe they were actually good enough to do it last year, like to get by on the skin of their teeth.
Right.
But what we're trying to build this year with an effective pass rush and an effective offense is a dominant team.
Correct.
That's what we're trying to build.
You're looking at it from a top, from a standpoint of from your roster top down. You are one of the dominant teams in the NFL. That you are looking at this, and from a national standpoint, when you watch these Seahawks, there's no question about who they are, what they're about. We're talking about intangibles. We're talking about their culture because we can't figure out how they're continuing to win games because their roster does not match their win record.
One more. Dustin is in Yakima. Go ahead, Dustin.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say go get Clowney. Go get Darius Slay. Get rid of Lano Hill and see if Flowers can go back to a safety spot.
Well, thanks for the call, Dustin.
Trey Flowers, a college safety at Oklahoma State.
Yes, he was a college safety at Oklahoma. But that is also saying, then what do you do with Bradley McDougal and what do you do with Marquise Blair, right? Like, Trey Flowers playing safety isn't necessarily the answer here. And I think Darius Slay, I like him. I don't know. He's a Pro Bowler. But I look at some other guys. If we're going to go out and make that type of trade for a corner, I want to go get Patrick Peterson.
Wait a minute.
I want to go
who
get.
Who are we trading though?
I don't know. You could trade draft picks. You could trade pretty much is what you're looking at as draft picks.
You're right. I don't know that I want to trade now, draft picks for Patrick.
Or
Peterson.
It would be like a high. You would have to package a recent acquisition you had. Like, what were we doing? Like, a hypothetical would be Marquise Blair, which I don't think they should do, but that would be, right. For instance, your second highest draft pick from last year.
But I'm just saying off of what Dustin said. Darius Slay doesn't really move the needle for me, but, like, I look at it and say you're in with the secondary. Your pass rush will make your secondary a lot better. That will coincide and make your group better. Now, could they improve even more from their cornerback spot? I think so. I've said on the show, I think Shaquille Griffin is a very, very good number two corner. He's not an elite corner when you look at all of the top guys around the league and what they do.
The callers and texts typically lined up with what I had for mine, and we can all go over it later, but mine was pass rush number one, number two, experiment with your defensive approach, number three, use Russell Wilson as the centerpiece.
Let's come back to that next because I haven't really gotten into mine either.
Okay.
Right now, what's on tap?
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey. So, folks, what's on tap?
Lydia Cruz is going to host the inaugural Dragons Insider Show on 710 ESPN Seattle from 7 to 8 tonight. Get ready for the first XFL season as the Seattle Dragons prepare to face off against the D.C. Defenders on Saturday, February 8th at 11 a.m. I believe that game is going to be on ABC, right? Okay, ABC. Very good. We're back next in a second. We're going to go through more of our blueprint here. What do the Seahawks need to do to get back to the Super Bowl on 710 ESPN Seattle?
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
Hey, quickly, before we get back to the Seahawks here, can you guys answer me a question?
Yeah. Well, maybe.
We have such a long rain season in the Pacific Northwest that it limits the amount of time that you can commit to vacations, like where you go away around here locally. Do you go away in February anywhere? Like, would you go up to...
I'm poor.
If you had the money, would you go up to, like, the San Juans or Anacortes or something like that?
To get away from the rain?
No, just to go somewhere.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm being guilted right now because I don't want to go to Anacortes in the cold and the rain.
Who wants to do that?
Not the point.
Okay.
But what are you going to do there?
Why?
Well,
to
DJ,
go maybe
DJ
see a whale.
Here in like 15 minutes. That's his hometown. He can take care
of it. He can sell us on Anacortes.
I don't want to get too offensive.
I just don't want
to. I'm not. I'm just saying.
I don't want it to be cold,
Stacey,
and walking around.
Why
outside.
Am I going there?
You regretted making fun and taking shots at the 49ers yesterday. I'm protecting you. I don't want you to step
right.
in that same.
Right. I'm
going to
go home and
puddle.
Find out Anacortes like did an interview and
tomorrow,
Anacortes is like, we're a great place.
Second down, Stacey. Do you regret making fun of Anacortes?
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
I do. Let me tell you about an endangered whale that lives there.
The great people of Anacortes deserve better. Stacey.
Okay, this is called pandering.
You are going to have
what Jake is doing is called pandering,
and I hope it's working. Now,
this isn't what I meant to happen.
But my question here is what is there?
Yeah, like, why are you going there?
Just to get away from the city, I'm imagining,
well,
kind of decompress.
That's one thing. There is a very specific reason.
Why?
Okay.
There's a dog-friendly hotel there.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh.
You can
oh.
take Penelope.
Little George?
And Little George.
Yeah, that'd be a great getaway for you and
Gang's
the kids.
Gang's all here.
Yeah.
You guys aren't really helping me.
Oh, sorry.
No. What I mean is that the dogs also probably don't want to go in the rain. Penelope is so skinny, she's going to be shivering and freezing.
I would just rather go in warm weather is all. I don't want to be walking around looking for things to do with the cold drizzle on my face.
Yeah, you go this time of year, Tom, you'll spend all the day in the hotel room. You'll be getting cabin fever. You'll want out of there. You'll be cooped up.
You're going to miss the Dragons game.
You're going to miss the Dragons.
You can't go this weekend. You got to wait till the sun's here in like May.
I have literally no excuse to not go.
Well, we're helping you right now. We're helping you brainstorm.
You're not really helping me. You know what I do need to do is
I could give you an injury if you want to come in here and get a knuckle sandwich.
You could do the bridesmaid quote where you just, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. Just no excuse. I can't. I'm so sorry.
I think that's what I already said, but whatever.
Canceled plans are the best plans.
Yeah.
By the way, it feels so great to cancel plans.
But Tom, wouldn't it be such a good trip for you and the fam?
I don't want to go. I just want to hang out.
Well, I can understand that.
Shoot the breeze.
Do nothing time.
Yeah, I want to hang out with my dogs. Don't get me wrong.
Someone from the 206, quote, Stacy was my favorite, but she isn't anymore. Someone from Anacortes, probably.
I told you.
Only you spelled Anacortes wrong, so you and me both, pal.
Anacortes is like the crossroads of the Pacific Northwest. You know?
You think so?
Well, yeah, you catch the ferry up there, head out to Friday Harbor.
Allegedly named after a woman named Anna Cortez.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Huh. Where'd you read that?
On the internet.
Okay.
Hey, do you have that? I know we want to talk about the Seahawks. We got all off-season for that. Do you have the Travis Kelce thing?
I sure do.
Okay. Oh. Now, and
I want to hear the Andy Reid
thing.
Now,
yes.
Wait a minute. Is this edited properly?
Is this a FCC
give me
compliant?
30 seconds.
Okay, because I think at some point he says, I'm going to open a can of whoop blank.
Yeah, he does.
And he yells. Yeah.
So Travis Kelce, he has been drinking quite heavily through
no,
this parade.
To Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, no, Patrick Mahomes definitely
Patrick
not a good
Mahomes
influence.
Patrick Mahomes
was
pouring beer into his mouth.
So then they give the smart idea to give Travis Kelce the mic in there in the stadium at their, you know, celebration, and Travis Kelce is wearing a WWE wrestling belt. So as he's giving the speech, just bear in mind that visual for you that he is talking more in terms of a wrestler's point of view.
21 years. How about that? I'm going to walk this wall. How about 21 years? Y'all know what that means? Everybody here is thinking, oh, that's when I can, you know what I mean, legally get a drink. Yeah. No, 21 years. That's how long it's just been turning for my guy Andy Reid. It's just been turning and turning and turning. And what we do? What we do? 24-0. I ain't trying to hear it. Shouting.
What you guys, if you look up the video afterward, you see Patrick Mahomes, and I think this is Frank Clark. I'm not sure because he's under a... Okay. Frank Clark and Patrick Mahomes are behind Travis Kelce, grabbing onto the back of his jacket and kind of guiding him from side to side so he doesn't fall off. It's like a knee-length fur coat.
With a WWE championship
They're trying to make sure he doesn't fall off the stage, so he starts walking to one side, and they both grab the back of his coat and kind of pull him back a little bit.
Fourth quarter, 6 and whatever left on the clock. Down 10. We got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, baby. How about Sammy Watkins? Woo! How about Damian Williams? Woo! How about my dog, 5'5", and he ain't off sides?
Kyle, if you don't give a speech like this for us when we finish our first year on air, I'm going to be so mad at you.
And how
so
about
mad.
Tom Wassel?
How about Tom?
Seahawks insider Stacy Ross.
They're like, sir.
This is a shout out.
We're at Applebee's.
And did you hear that shot at the end at D Ford?
Really?
How about my dog 5'5"?
Not offside.
Offside.
Only he did get flagged for it, although I think it was
against. Wow. My dog 5'5", and he ain't offside.
Wow. Oh, no.
Hello.
What you need is the side-by-side of him getting beer poured into his mouth, spinning in circles, and then just immediately after you see this, and it all comes together. Do we have the audio of Andy Reid?
Hold on. I'm not ready to get past this yet. What a freak show this guy is. Is he the one who has his own show?
Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
Was it Catching Kelce?
Yes, he does.
Yep. I don't see what's wrong with a reality dating show.
Nothing. But isn't he going to regret that someday?
No, I don't think so.
Not for at least 3 years.
I think he's going to think to himself, I'm living my best life.
As I said yesterday, Tom, he's here for a good time, not a long time.
What? He's going to die?
I don't know. No, that's not what I'm saying.
He's just living in the moment.
I'm saying you only live once.
Yeah, but I mean...
As a great man once said.
So you don't enjoy this one bit.
No, it's fine, but like, it's much like Richard Sherman when he went nuts in front of Aaron Andrews. That could have been, should have been like the best moment of his life. And instead it got like corrupted by that.
But I think Travis Kelce executed exactly what he wanted to do here.
He came out
with the WWE belt. He was going to talk like
he was a
wrestler in the ring. And going through the entire year, giving a hype speech, and I think if you asked Travis Kelce, he'd be very proud of this.
I know, but I know I'm being a fun sucker. It's okay. I don't know. I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that? I wouldn't do it personally.
For the same reason I wouldn't get a tattoo, I don't want to have to explain that the rest of my life.
Sure.
For my guy, Andy Reid.
Would you do that, Stacey? Would you behave in such a way?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
Well, how come everybody doesn't do it?
Well, the question is, would you behave that way if you just won the Super Bowl and then were drinking all day?
Well, if people had been pouring beer into my mouth while I was walking down the street of a Super Bowl parade, and literally all morning since this parade started when I was on my way to work on the live feed, every time I look at it, Travis Kelce is chugging beers, and hours later, I am not at all surprised to see him walking across the stage with a wrestling belt on, being pulled back from falling off while giving a speech. I'm okay with it.
That's why.
If I go through a year of what premier athletes have to do to stay in shape and to be elite at your job and your position.
Don't give me that.
No, I'm not. I'm saying, like, I don't have to wake up at 5 a.m. to do physical therapy, and I don't have to stay watching tape until 8, 9, 10, 11 at the facility. Like, I know everyone has a tough job, but if you're at your job where you're putting 90% of your life into your job, like, when I leave this job, I go home, I change, I take my jeans off at like 3:30 and I watch TV.
Why?
if I put in like way more effort than I normally do into my life, you bet I'm celebrating like that.
Yeah, but he's the only guy doing it.
Well, you look at everybody else behind.
It's
they
fine.
Are.
It's fine. I don't want to become Mr. Like whatever.
You know, sucking the fun out.
Tom, are you asking our permission if you can celebrate like that? Just ask.
How would you celebrate, Tom?
I would. Oh, I don't want to tell you.
Say it.
Nah.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
I'm going to come off as even more of a fun sucker.
I would read a book.
I don't know, man. I'd be there just like, you know, waiting. I get nervous around people.
Well, Travis Kelce clearly does not.
No, he does not.
He loves that moment, and I think that he lived up to that moment big time.
I drink alone.
Oh, where did we go?
Did we sum it up next?
The wait is over.
They're gonna wave him in.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Shot clock turned up.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports. Brought to you by Zone In CBD.
Step back.
All right, question. Honest question.
Yeah?
After the Seahawks lost the 2014 Super Bowl, what kind of crowd did we have at the airport to greet the team? Did we have anybody?
That's a good question.
I'm sure Big Low was there.
I think there were diehards there. I don't quite.
There's a
Seahawk there?
Sonics guy.
I would say that there is always a strong contingency of Seahawks fans. Like, there's a group that is going to be there, you know, rain or shine, going to be there when they win and lose. Like, there's always going to be this contingency. I feel like there's a core of diehard fans that I see even on, like, Facebook, the Facebook posts, that they're always there no matter what. So I would say that, you know, there's going to be a decent amount of people. I mean, maybe, you know, 50 to 100 people.
Why do you ask?
Well, because at NFL memes, they show the 49ers getting off their plane. By the way, where are they coming from today? Have they been gone this whole time?
Oh, that video was yesterday.
Oh, okay, so it's from yesterday. They're coming off the plane, the 49ers are. There's a camera crew there. And then there's only five people, five 49er fans there to greet them. Six. There's a kid there, too. Five! That's nothing.
Five people.
I mean, did we have more than that, or is that customary for the Super Bowl loser to essentially not have anybody there to greet them?
Well, you know, I think there's also that that stigma, you know, that the 49ers fans, you know, are a little bandwagonish, and, you know, maybe
they're
you know,
one of the
showing...
blue blood franchises.
Doesn't mean
in the NFL.
Doesn't mean their fan base is as strong
though.
As that. Sure, it should be, but I think that's poor form. But also at the same time, I don't know if I'm going to be in the mood to go out there myself and wave the team in after that really tough loss.
It's short sleeve weather though.
Is it short sleeve weather? So you know, it's like you traveling to Anacortes. You'd go do it just because of the weather.
Tom, you did this to yourself. Don't make that noise.
I just texted her and I said, all my coworkers want me to go to Anacortes.
Hey, I tried to bail you out.
I know. It just didn't work. That's okay. Well, that's what I got for sum it up.
Well, my sum it up, I am loving this Travis Kelce soundbite that we got to hear from him and his you know, victory speech as they're in the stadium talking to the crowd. Kyle, can we give our listeners a little taste of that?
It's just been turning and turning and turning. And what we do, 24-0, I ain't trying to hear it. Shouting, I ain't trying to hear it.
Now, I love it just because they're having a great time. Travis Kelce obviously isn't in the right frame of mind because he has been drinking the entire time but leading up to this moment. And I think that they're all having fun, having a good time. But, you know, learned a little bit something about Tom Wassel, that Tom wouldn't be celebrating in this manner and that it is just disturbing to our good co-host Tom Wassel, that, you know, he'd rather celebrate a Super Bowl in a nice, quiet fashion by himself.
I don't like when people yell like that, even if they're, you know, happy.
Yeah.
It's just a little too much.
I guess. I mean, I yell a lot.
No, you don't.
No, I yell. My sister said my regular speaking voice level, like volume level, is ordering something at Subway. When you're kind of yelling at the glass a little bit.
Yeah, what you don't realize is that Tom actually has like earplugs that he just kind of slightly turns halfway. You know, when our volume, like before the show, you know, I clap and I yell.
No, that's not true. I like that.
Oh, you do?
That gets me going a little bit, but you're not. You haven't been drinking all morning.
Well, true. I don't drink, so that is in our favor.
My sum it up today is that I'm very excited to get our kind of blueprint off-season project started. And we didn't even dive into all of our ideas today, but we had some really good calls and texts from what people think the Seahawks need to do to get back to the Super Bowl. Seems like the consensus is to start with the pass rush, but even then there's a lot of different debates about whether or not to re-sign Clowney or whether or not you try to add someone through the draft. So it's a really fascinating conversation. I can't wait to get started on Monday when we start looking at the Seahawks free agents. Again, that all starts at 2.
Yeah, I'm glad that there were a couple of people who were on board with me about the draft and not, I guess the phrase that was used was the Seahawks don't need to get cute and try to find the next Richard Sherman or the next diamond in the rough down in the 5th round, because you're only going to hit on that guy as a superstar player once in a while.
And I think there's more of a sentiment than you would realize, Tom. I don't think that this is something that, you know, there's only a few people that think that way. I mean, the reality is for this team and where they want to go, you talk about getting to a Super Bowl in 2020, you have to, just like our man Jack said, quality over quantity. We have to start hitting that quality in the upper rounds of the draft to get those impact type of players at positions that you really need. You piece this together from what you acquire in free agency, and you have to supplement that through the draft, and they've got a great opportunity to do that in the earlier rounds of this year's draft.
Now, we're only talking from a transactional standpoint today. I mean, I hope that the players that they do have, that they keep around, get better. I hope Shaquille Griffin continues to get better, that he hasn't hit his ceiling yet.
Yeah, like just
for an example, I hope that Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright keep on playing like they have been, and that neither of those two takes a step back. I was kind of with that caller on LJ Collier. I can't sit here and give up on him right now. I just can't. But look, if I didn't give up on everybody else, I can't give up on him.
You're absolutely right.
True.
But here's my thing. Is that LJ Collier, what is his ceiling? What can he be?
I don't know, but when they drafted him, everybody was happy.
Well, they were happy in the sense that we thought we were getting a guy that could play both side, both D defensive end, defensive tackle, and that he can be this tweener and be an explosive player from that standpoint, be a high motor guy and can make things happen. Now, he had an early injury in training camp, so I will say that, yes, hopefully you get more out of him in year two. But with those types of players, if you don't see any flash of twitch and explosion or one play that stands out, it's like, man, he got a TFL, he got a sack, he got this one play that shows his first round grade, to me that's very concerning, and he had plenty of opportunity
to
do that this
year. Stop sucking the fun out of my LJ Collier love.
Yeah, just pointed to a little bit of reality.
Nah, he's going to be fine. Stacey, did the show go to your liking?
It was great.
All right.
A+.
We're back tomorrow.
A+, guys.
Tom, Jake, and Stacey, 710 ESPN Seattle.